Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt. Two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ah ha ha ha. It's bit season.
Welcome to Bit Season, episode 2.
Number 2. I can't believe we made it this far.
I'm actually surprised. Thought we'd crash and burn in episode 1. But we got to say big thanks to our sponsor, Wave Soda. Yes. Love Nat from Wave Soda. Wave Soda is awesome, as you hear on the junkie. Super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice and a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Order now at wavesoda.com and receive 15% by entering junkies. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Drab T-Shirt here with my friend Matt Valdez.
Oh, he called me his friend. That was nice.
My Happy homie. Drabby. We're homies. Yeah, yeah, did you homie. Just listen to the intro?
Yes.
And our video producer, Adam Epstein.
Executive producer.
Adam told us before the show started, I don't do audio.
That's what you want to hear from your podcast producer.
I don't feel comfortable with audio. You guys are the guys good with microphones. And
our angle to get you on the show was you would be the producer. And everything that just happened the last 45 minutes was Valdez setting up the studio.
I set up the video.
The video cameras.
And I checked the audio. If the audio works, it's because I checked it.
And we had one video clip last week.
In Adam's defense, I could teach him how to do everything. But then that just takes up time out of my day. And I feel like he should have been taught already how to do that.
I know how. I feel comfortable doing everything. I just would hate myself if I made a mistake, so I would rather you guys check on it.
All right, for everybody that survived episode 1, don't worry. We talked with Adam in between episodes. We're dialing down the screaming.
Yeah, the screaming's coming down. He's going down a couple decibels.
Now I want to scream F you. It's my charm.
Hey, I do love that Adam came in here today. If you were watching on TV at the end of Thursday's show, you saw Valdez and I are laughing uncontrollably. Adam, he just brings this certain like stupidity to the producer room.
He just knows what to say to make us smile. And it's always unintentional.
Yeah. Well,
anytime he tries to be funny,
it's the worst.
It's a bomb.
You're the most naturally funny person, but when you try to be funny, you're like as funny as this memo board over here.
You guys were using big words on purpose in front of me, like attrition. And it was over my head.
Yeah, you didn't know what attrition meant.
I still don't know what it means.
Wow. That's going to be your homework for episode 3. Right. Is at the beginning, you're going to tell us the definition of attrition and use it in a sentence.
Sounds good.
But anyways, enough of Adam for now.
Enough of Adam. Always enough of Adam.
We want to say a big thank you to all of the listeners. I believe we hit over 12,000 downloads on our first episode. So thank you to you guys. That was very flattering. I did not expect those kinds of numbers. And
honestly, those are monster numbers. Yeah, it was actually ridiculous.
It actually doubled the junkies' numbers.
Yeah, the junkies get huge amount of numbers every segment they get. But we were checking out I saw people accusing us of lying. The numbers were so outrageous. They're like, we're flubbing the numbers.
I don't know how to flub the numbers. If I knew how, I would. But I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, we were stunned that you guys checked it out. Hopefully, most of you came back for episode two. A different kind of week here on the Junkies because it is football season. We have a game on Sunday that took up most of Monday's show. And, of course, we have a game today, this evening, on Thursday Night Football. So that took up a lot of Thursday's show. Plus, there was some spillover on Tuesday and Wednesday. I felt we didn't get as much non-sports as we crave, Valdez.
I love non-sports segments, and when you got two games jammed in a five-day span, you're not going to have that much shtick to do. But that's our job, is we're going to carry the shtick from this week, from the junks, into bit season.
But there was plenty. The non-sports that we did talk about on the show and some of the stuff that went on off mic was pretty fantastic.
That seems to be a big thing with our listeners. To bit season is they love this off air storytelling that we do that gives them kind of an inside peek of the junks and kind of what our day's like.
I think we may have set the bar too high in episode one because I was telling you guys about the JP fight, and now people just want
they expect a fight every week.
No, they expect gossip every single week.
Gossip, that's a great one.
And we can try to do that, and there will be a lot of things that we'll get to every episode, but I can't. There's not going to be a fight every single week.
It was just good timing, to be honest with you.
Right. It was great timing. Well, that's one of the things that EB talked to me about this week.
Speaking of gossip.
That he pulled me aside.
He came into our studio, our little behind-the-glass studio.
Yeah, but he that was the second time I heard it.
Because
he told me, he maybe even called me. I think he called me. He was so worried about something that he had something to do this week that he didn't want to do. And he was worried that I was going to talk about it on bit season.
Eric likes to get his feelings out and frustrations out to us. And that's kind of a job as a producer, is that you just listen and you kind of have to take the brunt of the talent's frustrations.
Well, if you know Eric at all, our ears have been bleeding off mic for the last year, and we're trying to control that to off mic so we don't ruin the junkies. And we love Eric, but we are his sounding board at the 5 o'clock hour when we're getting ready for the show.
And during commercial breaks.
And during commercial breaks. Exactly. But Eric, you know, he's got a lot of things going on in his life, but he, I guess, thinks now, because I told the story of the JP fight that was not discussed on air, that he thinks we're just going to pick up everything that happens off air and dish to the listeners. And let me tell you, I could ruin lives with the secrets that I know. I'm the vault. I got so many secrets on everybody, and I'm sure people have secrets on me, right? That are not appropriate for air.
But it's right. Juicy.
Right, it's because we're all buddies, and we wouldn't go narc on our buddies to other people, to randos.
Yeah, so
we know what
radio
to say.
Eric said Valdez and Drab, especially Drab, has radio instincts. I know.
That's kind of a cheap shot.
I remember he did say that about me. He said, "You're the show historian, and Drab has radio instincts." I'll never forget.
I would agree with that.
I need to hear that clip. I don't remember it like that.
I got it pulled.
I know. You probably pull your pants down to it every night.
Yeah. And I'm an interesting guy. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, that too. I know.
So he pulled me aside and he was like, you know, I told you I didn't want to do this thing. I'm going to be upset if I hear about this on bit season.
Right.
And I'm like,
because he was lamenting to us about something that he didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. And he was just talking. And then he thought we were just going to turn around and use that against him.
Now, I would love to share some of the things I've been told over the years.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even tell my wife most of it. My wife is a blathermouth. The only people I can talk to about it is Valdez.
We actually don't even tell AWOD.
Yeah, he quit the show. He doesn't. AWOD lost out on all the secrets. When you quit the show and went to Podcast Village and got fired from there, I remember, because Eric would come in and say, and he would tell you, he was testing you. He would tell you little tidbits to see if you would ever tell anyone or if you would let him leak. And you never did. You're a great secret keeper as well.
The keeper of the gate.
The keeper of the gate. And you lost out on a lot of that because you're not in on the show anymore.
Believe me, I miss out on a lot of the secrets, and it's one of the biggest things I miss about this, because especially EB, he knows everything about DC media.
He's the news babes. Is that what you're referring to?
Everything.
Do we ever call him? We call him that on the air, right? The
yeah,
news
we've
babes?
Called him that on air. Because we go to the fundraisers and parties. And
we
stuff
always
like
ask Erica, because Eric was involved in that scene. Like, he's always, him and Lurch always like know what's going on at the local news TV station.
They have the inside skinny about like right. Who's got the leg up for the 5 o'clock news job.
For some reason, we always found that
who's next up on the sports scene and stuff like that.
Who's fighting at Fox 5 or whatever. We always found it interesting. But so one of the things that goes on in the 5 o'clock hour is the EB. So he comes in there, he's ranting about whatever's going on in his life that he's frustrated by.
Yeah, it's basically 5 o'clock is when we prep for the show, but it's also EB's psychiatrist hour.
Has he been sitting in the room with you guys?
He does a lot.
He comes in there for like 15 minutes or so.
Then he'll come over here and sit on Twitter.
Yeah.
Eric's prep for the show is just talking to Drab and myself.
Eric always claims, so this is the thing about Eric, and JP and Eric will fight about it on the show sometimes, is that Eric will always say, I get here at 5 o'clock. And then JP says, well, what do you do in that hour? I know.
It's a great point.
It is a great point because Eric is here. He'll come in here, chit chat with us, or we'll come in here.
He's first
then he's
here.
Sitting on his computer. I don't know what he's doing on his computer in the 5 o'clock hour because he'll have no idea that the Capitals made a big trade. And he'll ask that question. Well, that happened. What are you talking about?
I'll tell you what he's not doing. He's not looking at the outline.
Well, the outline has changed a little bit. I used to send the outline at night. Now I'm doing it in the morning time.
They get it right when the show starts.
Yeah, they kind of know. They kind of have an idea for what the show
out,
is.
Yeah, they can figure out what's going on.
I was stunned. Something happened, and we talked about it on the air this week, in the 5 a.m. hour, that I never thought I'd hear come out of Valdez's mouth. It was so stunning that I had to step back and process what he just told Eric Bickle.
Yeah, this is what Drab said on air when he described it to him.
Did Valdez tell EB yesterday he didn't care if he died?
Yeah, Valdez was like very mean to me yesterday.
It was such a weird
about
comment.
He didn't care if you died?
Yeah, we had a conversation. I don't want to get into what it was. And I know he was just saying because he was being ornery and tired. But I did go back to him during one of the commercials. I said, just so you know. And luckily, I was in a good – because sometimes that would really set me off. But I just said, just so you know, that was pretty hurtful that you said you really didn't care if I died. Yeah.
Look, I said that to Eric, and there's a couple of things. I guess I really need to explain myself.
You definitely do.
First of all, I know Eric's going to listen. By the way, I appreciate he's the only junkie who listens to the show. This is my formal apology to Eric Bickle for saying that. All right. Eric could have been talking about the Ryder Cup and how they're going to honor Lamar Jackson on the first tee. And I could have told him I wouldn't have cared. And that's because I went to bed at 1 o'clock from staying up to watch all of the Ravens Monday night football game. All right. I was ornery. I did not get enough sleep. All right. And also I was tired of listening to him babble when I didn't get enough
sleep.
But
he was just
and he was babbling about nonsense. Like, it wasn't show stuff. It wasn't anything.
I found it interesting.
You did.
Some of the stuff he talks about that I just like to see where his mind's racing
Drab's
off to.
Drab's a little kiss ass.
I'm not a kiss ass. I just got into a fight with one of those last week on the show.
He's an EB kiss ass. He really is.
All I do is mock EB on the show.
He sucks up to Eric so much that it's unreal. He thinks Eric's Jesus, and he walks on water. Because, like Drab said, Eric gave him a radio compliment. So now all of a sudden he feels indebted to Eric and that he needs to suck up to him. Do you really care about all the stuff Eric talks about?
No, not all of it. Of course not.
Do you honestly care about his daughter's volleyball?
Actually, I do. This is a straight shoot. I do care about that. I actually love listening to his kids' college stories and the trips to practice and hearing how they're developing. I'm so bored by that.
Are you kidding me?
He's a friend of mine.
Friend of yours from 6 to 10 a.m.
That's not true. That's not even what he was talking about.
No, it's
that's not.
Not
even what he wasn't talking about. Stevie's volleyball practice.
What I'm trying to say is Drab shows interest in everything that Eric talks about, and it was to the point where he starts repeating the same stories over and over and over and over again. And it's something that I've heard for 10,000 times. And so I had 2 hours of sleep. I'm trying to work and get my S done for the show in the morning. And then Eric's droning on and on and on. And then
he wasn't droning on. It was like a two-minute conversation.
And it was the last part of what he said was something about getting sick and dying. And I said, I don't care if you get sick and die. So that's what I said, and I regret it. But he could have said anything at the end of that sentence.
The quote was, "If you died, I wouldn't care."
That's wild.
But if you died, I wouldn't care.
And he said that to the host of the show.
I did.
It doesn't even matter if it's his. First of all, it's his like his boss.
It's his boss.
It's his boss. I wouldn't say that. I would have trouble saying that to my worst enemy.
Right.
Right. Like I would feel bad. Let alone somebody I like. Valdez is just saying, "Oh, I was ornery because the Ravens lost." Right,
no, but I've worked on the show for 5 years.
First of all,
after the Ravens lose, he's a dick.
It's just sports. Told the host that he didn't care if he dropped dead because his team lost a football game.
Well, no, it's because I stayed up to watch them lose, not because they lost. But no. So what I did was I took the final thing that he said in the sentence about dying, and then I added that to "I don't care." And so that's what I did. It was a mistake, and I apologize, and now I kind of dig in my own grave, which is kind of ironic because we're talking about dying.
No, I found it humorous. Don't get me wrong. It was stunning, and I can't believe it. It was fantastic content. I just remember last week when I said, Valdez is a little bit different. He doesn't necessarily snap at people. He just kind of walks away and sulks and says, "I'm going to go pour beers." I was wrong. I was totally wrong. He snapped at Eric and told him he didn't care if he died because he was tired of getting flamed about current events. But I do, Eric. I know you're listening. I like the volleyball stories.
Happy 21st birthday to Stevie.
Yeah, Eric almost cried on the show this week.
I saw.
He did. He said,
"I
almost got teary eyed." He was talking about his kid's 21st birthday and where he was. He said he felt like a big silly. He went to go get breakfast or something, and he right after Stevie was born. And he felt like he was accomplished in life. They don't usually get, Lurch does a little bit with his kids, but Eric usually doesn't, talking about his kids and being sentimental about
it. Well, it was the 9/11 segment that really he almost cried. Him and Lurch got like teary eyed.
Hey, speaking of parenting, another thing that came up on the show, another topic, was how Jason went down to Blacksburg since he has two daughters, which is kind of cool. Both your daughters go to the same college.
Yeah.
At Virginia Tech. So he went down to see them, and then he told the story about how he went to a football game against Middle Tennessee State and the Hokies, and this is what Jason said on air. Jason went down to Blacksburg, and his daughters did everything they could to avoid him.
He went in the middle of a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually saw mass hysteria.
They were obliterated.
That was just not my scene.
Yeah,
somebody must.
I couldn't believe the scene. It wasn't
somebody
my
must
scene.
Have snuck something into their drinks.
Yeah,
they're are not 21 yet.
Are you gonna boycott that then? So you'll never go back to that street.
Something just to witness again. I would never hang
but
out there.
But you're still like going to the football games. You just don't want to go to that street.
Yeah, Center Street. It's just.
Are you gonna tailgate with the old parents?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what I did. I tailgated in lot one with all the oldies.
All the old hacks.
And then my daughter said, "We're going to Center Street. You have to see it, Dad."
Right.
I said, "All right." So they went, and then I went about 20 minutes later,
right.
And I couldn't believe
you
my
saw
eyes.
All the debauchery.
It
was
debauchery. That's not even the right term.
Did you see your daughters after the game or no?
Yeah.
Now, what I found very interesting about that clip is how Jason says he met up with his daughters to get pizza after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at Drab. It was so funny because
we were thinking the same thing.
We were thinking the same thing. Is if you're in college as a freshman and I think a sophomore or junior, why would you want your dad driving down basically 6 hours to and hang out with your dad on game day?
It makes no sense to me. None of this makes any sense to me. Jason's obsession with going to Virginia Tech every 3 weekends to see the football team. First of all, I'm not quite sure why he cares about Virginia Tech, by the way, this is
the biggest heel turn in the world, because all he would do is call them the Chokies and talk about how much Virginia Tech sucks.
Yeah, I mean,
and no, and I understand if you're plunking down you know, $70,000 a year for your kids to go to school.
That doesn't mean you root for their football team.
No.
It's not like my dad started rooting for the Sun Devils as soon as I went there. He didn't care. Yeah. It's so weird that he is rooting, like he's obsessing with the football team and he's got to go to all their games. He went to a Middle Tennessee State game.
Yeah, which, by the way, is the nubbiest game you could ever
go
to.
The worst game on the schedule.
Jason's a big sill and he's going to the worst game ever.
But his girls, he's got to let them go.
A 19-year-old chick doesn't want your daddy coming down to visit them every weekend.
I don't understand it. I understand.
The last thing I wanted to do when I was at Maryland is see my dad or see my mom.
Seeing your parents at, like, having them come down and be like, all right, I'll come meet you somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Like, somewhere private. How often did your dad come to Richmond?
Like, once a year.
Once a year. That's appropriate.
Yeah, like parents' weekend or whatever.
That's right. What they got a whole weekend for. Yeah. The whole weekend. Come on down. Jason comes down there all the time to see his girls. He's got to let them, in my opinion, grow up and let them separate. He's so
attached to them.
So attached on when they were growing up, and he was like a helicopter dad, basically, that we thought that once they went to college that they would get the little bit of space, but he's hovering over them down there. And I just can't imagine his girls want their dad come down to spy on them.
It's basically what he's doing,
right?
Is spying on them. And by the way, you can tell, like I said, from that clip, how the girls, his daughters, didn't want to meet up with him until after the game.
Right.
Because the last thing they want to do is hang out with dad when they want to go hang out with all their sorority friends and pledge friends and roommates and everything like that.
Let me ask you this. Do you buy that his daughter sent him a text that said, you got to come check out Center Street? I think that never happened. I think Jason and his buddies, whoever, I don't even know who he goes down there with, Jason and his buddies said they heard about Center Street. They know about Center Street. And they said, we got to go check this out.
Actually, I would take it a step further. And, you know, he's texted with his daughters constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first game where it was Virginia Tech upsetting North Carolina at home on the Thursday night. So he was asking his daughters a bunch of questions like, hey, did you guys tailgate? What did you guys do before the game?
Oh,
and
they said, we went to Center Street.
And they said, we went to Center Street.
Yeah.
All right. I actually think he went down there. All right?
Got a little intel.
A little intel about where they like to hang out before the games. And then all of a sudden he's cruising down Center Street trying to find his girls and making sure they're not in trouble.
Well, the funniest part of it is that he's going down there. I knew when he was telling this story that it wasn't a place for grown men to be. And I'm just picturing Jason and his buddies like trying to be like the cool guys or maybe not as old as they think they are, hanging out on with a bunch of college kids, like weirdly staring at these girls' asses and they're 50-year-old men. And it's just so inappropriate and not the right place for him to be partying.
Yeah. Everyone had that guy that would always show up to the college bar that was 40 years old.
That thought he could still hang. And at ASU, everyone's got their Center Street, right? At ASU, it's called Mill Avenue or Billion Bars, and it's right next to Sun Devil Stadium. And every Saturday or Sunday, because the Arizona Cardinals used to play at that stadium too, that street would be filled with horny old guys traveling from like Green Bay, wanting to spy on a bunch of young college girls, thinking they were going to like get lucky.
Trying to see some tan under boob.
100%. And I know Jason was doing that. And he's trying to, my daughters asked me to come by. No, they
didn't. Do you think he was doing that? Or do you think he was more so trying to spy on his daughters? Do you think he was being creepy old dude?
I think he was being helicopter dad. I think he. Well, a little of both, but mostly creepy old dude.
See, I think he was doing helicopter dad.
Yeah, maybe.
Where he got all the intel last week about where they were hanging out. And like the clip said, and like he said, he didn't meet with them until afterwards.
Yeah.
So the daughters could have probably ghosted him beforehand. And so he's trying to figure out where the hell they're going to be.
And you know
and
what?
And then he cruises over to Center Street.
Also, he's got to let his daughters get drunk and experience some
things. Right, let them make their own.
There's only so many Saturdays you get as a college student to party and hang out with your friends. And they couldn't drink and they couldn't do what they wanted to do because daddy was in town and they knew they had to meet up with him afterwards.
Right. They couldn't make bad decisions.
Let them make bad decisions. Exactly.
I think it's a thing where Jason, at that age, made horrendous decisions.
Yeah.
All right, when he was at Richmond, or when he was in college, And then he doesn't want his kids to do the same thing. So that's
because he knows, what terrible things he did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
I
doesn't
get that.
Want the, he doesn't want that to happen to his daughters, and he doesn't want the daughters making the same mistakes that he did.
Right.
You know, maybe getting
he did to other girls.
Well, I'm just saying maybe getting a little too tipsy, and you can't make make your 9 a.m. class.
I got you
on Friday because you stayed out late for the North Carolina game.
Adam, don't you feel like you missed out going to BCU from the big college football experience?
Do you have any idea how silly it is going to a big?
I mean,
school?
I went to a couple games of Virginia Tech.
I know, but you
it's basketball you're not, at you're BCU not a is completely different, though.
Oh my God!
I know, I get that BCU has a good program, but the tailgating's not really it's like not a
the
thing.
Same. It's not the same where you have a whole day dedicated to one event.
Yeah, and I got that experience from being a season ticket holder to the football team and going with my dad, which is not the same experience. But I think here's what you guys aren't understanding. I think Lurch's daughters were psyched to see him. Here's why. I think Lurch is up there probably with Cakes or JP as one of the cheapest junkies, right?
There's only four of them.
He just named three of them.
Right, well, he's cheap. Lurch is very cheap.
Okay.
But I guarantee you when he's in front of his daughters, he's handing out 20s left and right.
Oh, he is a big softy when it comes to
money. Oh, yeah. He probably paid for the whole tailgate. He bought 10 bottles of Burnett's for these girls.
Right. I don't know his daughters. I think I've only met him once. They take advantage of him. Right?
They play. Too.
Here's the problem is that when you're Jason's daughters, you go, man, I don't want to see dad this weekend because I'm trying to get lit. But then they go, well, he's gonna break me off with about 520s, and I need that cash.
Do you think they know, like, when he hits a big parlay, that's the time to ask for money?
No.
Although
that would be very strategic. Right.
Yeah. Jason's got plenty of money. I guess if he doesn't spend it anywhere else. So if he's going to spend it on one thing, I guess he should spend it on his daughters. But they know that's Santa Claus coming to town.
Yeah. Right.
He's making that drive down.
Santa Claus is coming down 81.
That's what they're sized for because they're broke college kids. Mm. That's why they're like, come on, daddy. Come visit us right, and just hand us 20.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, don't ever say the word daddy again.
Yeah, I know you got a fixation about it, and maybe we'll get to that.
I am, because I'm waiting for you to bring up the damn story of the week, all right? Which was the, the
good
MTV
transition.
Music Awards, all right? And the junkies only talked about it for 3 minutes. I know that this was a junkies topic that should have been 2 segments on air, all right? Megan Fox, so sexy in her voice, calls MGK daddy.
Well, first of all.
Yeah.
Megan Fox looked unbelievable, right? That dress, what are Cakes called? A muggle or something? A muggle dress?
I don't know, but it was see-through, and I think there should be more see-through dresses.
I think she just brought see-through back.
Isn't she my age?
Yes, and this is why I don't
She's understand. Got a ton of plastic surgery, though.
I know. She looks plastic, and I get it, but I don't know where the resurgence came from. I didn't know Machine Gun Kelly had this type of clout. That he could bring Megan Fox back from the dead.
I just think she never lost it.
I want to know something about Machine Gun Kelly. Is he a hot guy or not? He looks like a regular guy to me, right?
He's the musical Pete Davidson.
I don't understand it. Some of the rocker things I kind of get. Bret Michaels, right? Bret Michaels is the guy. He's got a look. I think he's a good-looking guy. Okay, kind of like an older reference.
I know. Could you make an older reference?
Well,
it's a 40-year difference almost.
Okay, but Bret Michaels, I get it. Like a good-looking guy.
Right. Tommy Lee.
Top of the line. Tommy Lee's honestly, he might be in that Machine Gun Kelly category because he's not like traditionally a good-looking guy.
I would say so. Yeah.
I don't even know. To me. Tom Hoppus is a better looking guy than Machine Gun Kelly, right? I don't remember those.
Well, it's the same thing that's going on with Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian.
Yeah.
Right?
They're in that exact same boat. Why were they taking bathroom selfies together?
Travis Barker is an old dude rocker, and I have no idea how he's pulling that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But he doesn't. But here's the thing about Travis Barker, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm, as Danny Urie says, my file isn't like tremendously big on his dating history, but he hasn't gone from like, he was married for like a long time to Shannon Mockler or Mahler or whatever her name is. He doesn't have a dating history of going from one hot chick to another.
Yeah, but
Machine Gun Kelly is dating every hot chick in Hollywood. I don't understand it. He looks like just, I don't know. There's no difference between him and like, The guy's from Imagine Dragons or something.
He's super skinny. I think that has something to do with it.
Maybe it's just me projecting, but I think there's going to be a sex tape coming soon.
Oh.
Down the pike. Mm. Now, I don't know. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's early 2000s of me, but there's going to be something that's coming out. Or that might just be me hoping.
Drought. I think I know what it is, though.
What?
Like, and I know this for a fact because I don't have this, and I've never had this, and I will always want it. When you stand up, take your shirt off, if you have a V, oh my God, girls get sucked.
We talk about the V all the time. But she said that they were talking about their costumes and their outfits or whatever and how they dress each other. And she said, he's 7 feet tall. He looks good in everything.
Yeah, he's a tall guy.
First of all, he's not even that much. He looks like he's like 6'4". He's not that tall, first of all.
He's above 6 foot.
He's just very skinny. He's very skinny. I didn't think skinny guys. The only good look to be skinny is if you're a rocker,
right?
Yeah.
And by the way, he's so svelte too, and he just looks like Gumby almost. I don't understand how that type of body type encourages the word daddy to be used.
I don't know. They're such
like
freaks.
How he does not. If you look at him, does that give a daddy vibe? No. Machine Gun Kelly doesn't look like daddy.
Isn't she older than him?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
You gotta be.
But they're just freaks. They're into freaky stuff. They kiss with their tongues. You've seen that bit, right? They just stick their tongues out and touch tongues.
Well, I mean, they're weirdos. What do you want me to do? I mean, also, I don't know, you're not in a lot of relationships. People kiss with their tongues.
Not just tongues.
Are you talking about they stick it out and they like touch like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Like they're Eskimo kissing with their tongues.
So why are you so blown away that she calls him daddy?
Yeah, I want to get back into
it's the just
daddy.
So,
the whole
it's just
daddy
so
thing.
Sexy the way she uses it. She makes it so sexual. And it's
well, it
just,
is sexual.
I mean, I'm telling you, if I listen to that five times,
I mean, she clearly has daddy issues herself. And you tell me you've never been called daddy.
Not even close. Never been called poppy. Nothing.
I thought you had sex with a Latina chick. You always in New York.
I did,
and she didn't say, "Oh, thick, poppy."
thick Megan Fox.
Oh yeah, thick Megan
yeah.
Fox.
Yeah, she probably said, "Oh, poppy seed bagel."
is that your dream to be called daddy in bed?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're the furthest thing from a daddy.
I know.
Do you know what a zaddy is?
Oh no, what's a zaddy? I don't even know what a
zaddy.
Zaddy
is the new daddy.
What? It's like slang?
A zaddy? Like anybody can be a daddy.
Except Adam. Anyone but Adam.
Yeah, anyone but Adam. But like an older guy, like I can be a daddy, right? hang on with me. Like all say right. I was single.
Okay.
And I was dating a 24-year-old. She could call me daddy. Like because I'm an older guy. That's just kind of like how that relationship works. A zaddy is like a metrosexual daddy. Someone who's put together that's got money, that's got good looks,
I'm thinking
nice
of,
suits,
I'm
maybe
thinking
a gray
of mad,
hair.
Mad men almost.
Mad men.
So like
yeah.
the opposite of a cougar, right? If a younger guy dates an older girl, she's a cougar.
Yeah.
If a younger girl dates an older guy, he's a zaddy.
A zaddy.
You're Z-A-D-D-Y.
Z-A-D-D-Y.
I'm thinking about a guy that has a glass of wine with his lunch at the Palm.
You know what I'm thinking about? The Dos Equis guy. That's a zaddy, right?
He's a zaddy. Machine Gun Kelly is not a zaddy.
I'm actually more curious how Drab figured out what a zaddy is.
Yeah, I know.
I've heard it before.
What do you mean I've heard of it before? Where did you hear it?
Yeah.
First of all, let me read you the definition. Zaddy is a noun used for a handsome, fashionable, sexy man with swag.
By the way, that has
nothing to do with age.
Yeah, but a daddy is always an older guy. You know, you're not going to call a 22-year-old guy a daddy.
You run the whole
world of dating younger girls.
First of all, there's always and always will be a lot of role playing in my wife and I's relationship. So maybe I've been there and you guys haven't.
No. I just never heard of these rules. You know what I mean? I didn't realize that there's this undercurrent of rules.
There's a stipulation.
About daddy.
Who's the guy that Rom kind of looks like if he lost a bunch of weight and was good looking? That's the host of the CNN show in Italy. He's butt famous. Everyone knows from Devil Wears Prada. He's a zaddy. I'm blanking on his name.
I mean, we're Googling it. What are we doing? Stanley Tucci?
Stanley Tucci.
He's not a zaddy.
Stanley Tucci's a zaddy.
No, he's not. He's a nerd.
Well, he's married, but women go crazy for him.
Really? For the Tucci?
And I like him, too. I like him, too.
I do.
For the Tucci. Yeah. Stanley Tucci. Rom kind of did look like Stanley Tucci in this one photo. It was actually stunning.
The angle.
Yeah, Cakes kind of looks like Stanley Tucci.
No, not at all. Not at all.
If he lost 50 pounds.
I do think that all skinny, bald guys.
They all look alike.
It's one of the reasons I'm refusing to shave my head is I don't want to.
You'll just be one of those guys.
I don't want to look like every other bald white guy. I'd rather have, at this point in my life, I'm open to change. At this point in my life. Until I get jacked and tan, I'm okay with a horseshoe because I know as soon as I shave my head, I'm gonna look just like Cakes.
You'll lose your uniqueness.
It's a battle. It's a daily battle every time I look in the mirror. But I can't shave my head because I feel like that there goes my look, and then I'm just blended in with everybody else.
So you think you could ever get to zaddy?
Start looking around. All these bald guys look the same. And I'm a almost bald white guy, so I can say this. It's like when you
You're not bald shaming when you say this.
Of course not. So that's why I'm hanging on. So you
realize all I'm gonna do after this show and until next bit season mm-hmm. is look around because we're in a pretty affluent area in terms mm-hmm. of business and in terms of property.
Yeah.
Is walk around and see who looks like a zaddy and who doesn't.
It's the word of the week. Zaddy. Everyone's going to be talking about it. So that was your segment of the week, the 3 minutes dedicated to Machine Gun Kelly.
Well, I just thought it was a perfect topic for the junkies, and I was a little annoyed that it got just kind of tossed around and then moved on.
Right. Well, speaking of see-through dresses and what Megan Fox was wearing, you could see her panties. And my favorite segment of the week was us talking about.
He's changing his voice right now. You gotta notice.
This is my sexy voice.
This is Drab's panty voice.
This is my panty voice. My segment of the week.
We're definitely calling that from now on. Is Drab's panty voice? Is when he gets down to the lower talk like this.
Hey,
that's the panty voice.
Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Monica Lewinsky's thong. I had a lot of interest in that segment.
I did too.
I could have talked about
her thong for 4 hours.
Jason stopped talking. Whenever Jason, if Jason's not talking in a segment, I'm probably liking what we're talking about because he shuts down now. Anytime we start talking about sex or something fun or exhilarating, Jason will shut down.
If there's no line attached to it, Jason won't comment on it.
Jason didn't say a word during the Monica Lewinsky sex talk. Because I think he gets embarrassed now at this age. He doesn't want people to know that, like, he doesn't want us to get back to his daughters that their dad's a pervert or something. Yeah.
Well,
even though we just talked about him being a pervert.
This is what really got me is I didn't think thongs existed until Cisco.
And then I don't think they really did. My first experience with thongs.
It's Cisco. I wasn't aware of
that thong. That came out way different than I thought. I didn't know what a thong was until Cisco was singing about it.
Right.
And girls weren't wearing them.
I know. I didn't know girls were wearing them in 1998.
1995.
1995 girls were wearing thongs. Yeah. I didn't know that.
But then again, I was 13 and you were 9 or 8.
I was very developed at 9.
Okay, well, you weren't thinking about thongs and girls' underwear.
You'd be surprised.
Valdez might have a few stories we'll get to one day. And EB's fascination of where Monica bent over for President Clinton.
Yeah, was the best part of it, which room. Yeah.
Well, it's because imagining.
Yeah. Well, does it really matter what room it was in the White House?
It sounds good to say it was the Oval Office.
That's where I think it was.
Yeah.
First of all, how many rooms does Adam know in the White House?
The Oval Office and the West Wing. The West Wing, like the TV show. Is there's probably an East Wing and then there's definitely a bunker in case of emergency.
Have you ever heard of the phrase, we're going to have a press conference in the Rose Garden?
No.
Never heard of the Rose Garden? What about the East Room?
No.
What about the Lincoln Bedroom?
No.
Are you come on? God, you're the.
I know more about the Lincoln Memorial.
You know nothing. You've never heard of the Lincoln
this
Bedroom?
This whole segment, when you guys were talking about it, it was over my head. I was 3 years old when Monica Lewinsky was, you know.
Again, we weren't that old.
I know, I wasn't that old.
I grew up not knowing anything about. I thought Bill Clinton was silly until I was about a teenager.
Hey, can you imagine Adam's first experience with a thong? It happened last week. But this is what this is what was so amazing about the story, is that when you the thong back in 1995, probably not the same as the Cisco era thong, right?
Well, that was probably the first stages of thongs, and those years weren't that much different from each other. I mean, they're very close to each other.
Well, just think, they're probably cotton. Not very breathable.
Hey, this is Valdez's panty voice.
Literally. The way he said breathable.
Yeah, yeah. Breathable. Cotton. Hey,
not very
do
breathable.
You remember the website whaletail.com?
Do you know what the phrase whale tail means, Adam?
No.
You've never heard that before?
It's probably a thong hanging out. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It was a thing
back in the early 2000s.
Whenever you saw a girl like bending over and her underwear was showing,
she was shooting her shot.
No, that was her whale tail because it looked like
a lot of the times it was unknowingly.
Yeah, yeah, unknowingly.
But the Monica thing, it was knowingly when she did it. Right. She knowingly showed.
When's
the whale
last time
tail.
Before this week you used the phrase whale tail?
It's been a long time.
It's been 20 years.
The last time I can remember whale tail is what's the stupid Michael Cera movie and
Superbad?
Yeah, Superbad.
Superbad.
When the girl's walking in the hallway, showing, that's the classic whale tail moment.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that.
And that's what I think of Monica Lewinsky strutting down the White House corridors with her whale tail showing and Bill drooling behind her.
I thought she bent over. Oh, she bent over wearing like slacks.
Yes.
And then the whale tail was showing.
Correct.
And then he said, hey, come over here. So,
is that your Bill Clinton voice?
Yes. I wish one of us had a good Bill Clinton voice.
No, we don't do impressions on this show.
Yeah. You know who your impression should be? Charlie Chaplin, because he's in silent movies.
He doesn't even want me on this show.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
No, he does. He does. By the way, don't
gloss over the fact that Drab said he would sniff them if he could go find Monica's panties from 1995, used panties from 25 years ago.
As I said on the show, it's a piece of American history.
Americana. Yeah, it's like smelling apple pie.
Now, I do not want to smell the blue dress, but I would like to see it. I don't even know, is that like available somewhere? Does someone own it? I don't know. I know it's around somewhere. I hear about the blue dress.
How much would you be willing to pay for that thong? It's like you could get it on eBay.
Like buy panties online or something?
But it's certified, you know?
It won't be the first time Drab bought panties online.
Give me a number.
$50. I mean, do I really care about Monica Lewinsky's thong? No, but if someone showed it to me,
I think it would be a funny talking point. Yeah. To have.
I think if Drab was at a silent auction and that came up, I think you'd be willing to pay $3,000.
Silent auction. maybe you're right. This show's gotten a little bit creepy. Well, one of the things that there was a little bit tense this week on the show. Last week we talked a lot about Drab and JP's fight. There was a little bit of tension between JP and Valdez this week when we got around to talking about the infamous vinyl records that Valdez somehow still has and JP dumped off on him.
It was it's been kind of an ornery week for me, testy week.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't very pleasurable this week. I was kind of needling Eric.
What day was this? Was that
this
Wednesday?
Yes, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because when JP's mother passed away, he's basically taking care of the estate. I don't know what his brother's doing, but JP's in charge of everything his mother owned. And in JP fashion, he's trying to kind of get the most out of everything that his mother owned.
Yeah.
So he used whatever service it was to list the chairs, the dining room sets, the china. We talked about the Waterford Crystal and everything that's for sale there. And then JP brought up the record collection, and he said that he was just going to give them away. And there's a spot near my parents' house that sells records.
I can't believe you got involved with anything with JP and money.
I know. And looking back on it, it was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made, because JP is so obsessive that he looks at the opportunity that I had with the records as a loss in his in his wallet.
Right.
And I just every time the records are brought up or every time the estate sale is brought up, is he always brings up the fact that he gave me the records and he asked me if I sold them. And by the way, I kind of take it as a dig. He's basically saying, you're lazy, what happened to this? Yeah, does he not think I called anybody about it? Does he not think I tried to unload them? Do you think I want them in my childhood bedroom? And my parents going, why the hell are these records here?
I'm actually on Team JP on this one. That was back in April, okay? It was months and months ago that he dumped these records off on you, which, again, don't think that you should have ever gotten involved. But you volunteered because you found out he was going to dump them. You said...
there's
a guy up in Pasadena that will take
him. I figure he's got two full boxes of records. I could sell him for $100.
I think you had plenty of time to get dump those records off on somebody, get a little bit of coin for him, give JP his money back so you guys could have moved on.
Well, here's the problem.
But here's the thing. You never updated him. You just kind of hoped the problem would go away.
Here's the problem is that I kept calling the guy in the Dina to see if he would buy them, and I left him a million messages. I probably called him five times. He never got back to me. I should have just told JP saying, hey, this guy's not coming through. Here's your records back.
Well, I don't understand. Why just that one guy? There's record stores everywhere.
It's the only place I knew of in the Dina.
I mean, there's probably 2 miles from here.
What, am I going to go lug them to Mobius?
I would take them somewhere. I would have called it around a couple different places or at least updated them.
That was my fault that I didn't.
You could get rid of those by this weekend if you wanted.
Well, trust me. I had a P1 say.
Honestly, I would have dumped them in the trash and given JP $50.
Trust me, it crossed my mind after Wednesday about saying this is a loss on my part. Here you go, JP.
I sold these.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? They're in a better home.
The reason why he is needling me is that I think that JP thinks that I sold the records and I didn't give him his cut.
Oh, really? You think that's what
I
it is?
I think that's part of it. Because like I said, you don't want to get in between JP and money. And so
no, I just think he's antsy for the money. And again, I don't blame him. It's been 6 months.
I'm on Team Valdez here, though. That's a situation where you give him the product, and then you sit back and shut up until he gives you the money.
I know, but it's been months.
eBay doesn't work like that, though. It's not every day you sell something.
Here's the thing: I'm not going to take my time and put every single record on eBay because that would just be so tedious. I'm not going to do that.
How much could this record collection be worth?
I don't know. I think I overvalued it.
$75. You know, tops.
I've watched too much Seinfeld.
Yeah.
About raiding old people's homes for records.
It's a bunch of garbage Puerto Rican records from this 1960s that nobody cares about.
You said Michael Jackson's in there.
Oh, you think it's hard to get a Michael Jackson record? They're probably in every used record shop across America.
Here's the thing is that he has so many of them. That these records that are probably worth $5 to $10.
So what attracted you to it then?
My entrepreneurial skills attracting me to it because I figured JP said he was just going to give them away. And which, by the way, JP, another thing that pissed me off about the records is that JP Finley was thumbing through them and took about five records.
He took the good ones.
Yeah, he took like five Dean Martin and Rat Pack records.
Do you guys have a record player at home?
No.
I feel like I'm missing out. Everyone's got one but me.
My parents have one.
Yeah. All my friends have them, and they have listening parties. Like, that's what this guy that I know named Neil, he's got, like, a great setup at his house where he's got, like, those old-school speakers from the 70s, and he's been repurposed.
The
big woofers. And he sits around with a cocktail, like, on a Saturday night. He'll put on, like... Frank Zappa or something.
You know, Neil sounds like a loser.
Yeah, I will.
He's a family man.
To a listening party.
No, that's not a thing.
I know those are a thing.
It's called a record party. So everyone brings their own piece of vinyl.
And how do you know about that?
Because I listen to Baba Booey.
Yeah, Baba Booey has an infamous listening party segment. Yeah. That's actually how old is that?
Very old. Very over old, 10 right? years.
Yeah, because I've heard that segment. I think it's one of Valdez's favorites because that's how I know about it. Is the list. You know what? That's why you took the records. Your obsession with Baba Booey and him having a record collection, you wanted to get in on it, and that's why you still have them. Are you having listening parties?
No, I'm not. Why? I don't want anything to do with the record. Please take them from me. I don't want the records.
You might be having a listening party.
I mean, you know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't invite you. Just like you didn't invite me to see Cowboy Todd.
That's true. I think I'm going to be seeing Cowboy Todd again. There's been a lot of chatter about him and his wife in our house. My wife really likes him. I might be headed down there again soon. And then one of the other things I wanted to get to is Ben Affleck.
First of all,
I'm convinced that Valdez is searching for Ben Affleck stories.
When he's
prepping the EP.
We talk about Ben Affleck a lot.
Too much.
My theory about that is that I do print out a lot of Ben Affleck stories because I like Ben, and I know Eric gets a kick out of Ben.
But we do a lot of Matt Damon, too. You know that Eric likes Good Will Hunting.
No, not Matt Damon. It's J-Lo, Britney Spears, and Ben Affleck.
I know, but the...
And it just so happened that J-Lo... Because it used to be J-Lo and A-Rod stories, but now she's dating Ben Affleck, so those two have been merged.
I know. It's cutting out of my EP prep. So yeah. I have less stories I can give them.
Right.
But I think it's an algorithm. So I print out and click on all these Ben Affleck stories.
The algorithm is that you're typing in Ben Affleck into Google.
No. And then Google sees I click on Ben stories, and so it puts all the Ben stories at the front.
Maybe you're right. But actually, I did get a kick out of the Ben debate this week of why women find him so attractive and how he's getting all these girls, just like we had the conversation with Machine Gun Kelly here. I think Ben Affleck, compared to Machine Gun Kelly...
Yeah, I was going to say, who do you think the better boyfriend is?
Better... I don't know. I don't. Everyone thinks Ben Affleck is some sort of loser. Didn't he go to Harvard?
I don't know.
I think he's a Harvard-educated guy. Machine Gun Kelly, he's a rock star, so he just seems like an asshole to me. But Megan Fox really likes him. But Ben Affleck was being judged on the show like he's not worthy of dating J-Lo, which blew my mind.
So in the you're thinking in the hierarchy of the relationship, Jennifer is ahead of Ben on the totem pole.
I think worldwide, I'll give it to J-Lo.
Of course,
right?
Worldwide, yeah, I understand.
Of course, she's a pop star legend. But Ben Affleck still...
Isn't some loser off the street.
No, he's an
A-list, A-plus list.
A-plus list star. He could be dating any woman that he wants. He's rekindled the relationship with J-Lo.
Which, by the way, I love the fact that I like thinking that J-Lo couldn't get enough of Ben. And then every relationship that she was in after Ben Affleck, all she did was think of Ben in bed, compare every single guy to Ben in terms of gifts.
But you know what those two guys have?
Couldn't get Ben off the brain. Apparently I can't either.
Right. What Machine Gun Kelly and Ben Affleck have in common is that they're bad boys. And that's what Adam doesn't understand about women and dating. If you're looking, if you're finding a wife or something, that's different. But I'm talking about dating and making the rounds, right? They want somebody with some edge to them. Somebody that's going to bring probably drama to their lives. Just something that, like, someone that's interesting. You got to shake it up a little bit. Ben Affleck, his personal life is a two, right?
Chain smoker.
Yeah.
Addictive personality.
Going, you know.
Weight fluctuates so much.
But he's
awful back tattoo.
Is it confirmed that back tattoo is still there?
I don't know. It could have been just for a movie.
Also, I'm jealous of Ben, and maybe this is one of the reasons I defend him, is that those photos of him on the beach looking all like a big fatty, he just snaps back. He looks silly again. He can get back in shape.
Hollywood cocktail. You take some pill and boom.
No. Vin Diesel, okay, was on the show last week, the story about Vin Diesel, being a big fatty, looking like he was pregnant on the yacht, right?
Uh-huh. Big old gut sticking out.
Did you see Vin Diesel this past weekend?
No.
I did. Vin Diesel was the guest of honor at the Formula One race in Italy,
I was
going
to say, he was in Italy, so it had to be.
It was in Italy, yeah. Okay? He looked like Vin Diesel from the movies. He was wearing a cutoff shirt. Jacked, no belly whatsoever, looked like he was about 5'6 and 110 40 pounds. I don't know how what happened. Possible? I don't know what happened between those 2 days of him being on the EP. And
you know, I can guarantee you it's this. It's pasta belly. All right? Because think about it. He's in Italy. Okay. You never get pasta belly?
That was the world's biggest pasta belly.
You eat some gnocchi, and then you get pasta belly.
I know, but he had man boobs. He had everything.
That comes with pasta belly.
Pasta belly, butt funny.
I think I had.
You have constant pasta belly.
Yeah.
That's a Chipotle baby in my belly.
It's the same thing, except when you eat a big plate of spaghetti and meatballs.
I think
your belly sticks out.
I think Vin Diesel, first of all, he was wearing Spanx or something at this race because there's just no way. Like, he looked put together. Like, he looked like there was not 1 ounce of fat on him.
You would have you would have to run for that entire week leading up to the race.
It's impossible. Okay. He would have to not eat for 3 weeks. He would have to, he was 30 pounds lighter at least. It was mind blowing. I've actually been waiting all week to talk to you about this.
Well, you know what it is that he had the big pasta belly. Mm-hmm. He took his dump. All right. And he got all the water out of his system. And then he looked silly.
Drab, you like Vin Diesel. What's his situation? Is he happily married? Is he a zaddy?
I think he would qualify definitely as a zaddy.
I thought zaddy was more businessman.
Yeah, he's kind of fashionable. Like street racer.
No, I think he could be a zaddy.
Does he wear suits? Like, did he wear a suit at the F1 thing?
No, he was wearing a cut-off black T-shirt.
That doesn't sound fashionable.
Right.
I know. I don't know. I think he could be.
You just like him.
I just like saying the phrase zaddy. All right.
I wanted to say it too.
And I'm telling you, girls like saying it too. One of the things that Adam put here is that he...
Oh, yeah. By the way, this is my favorite part, is that last week Adam came very ill-prepared for the show.
Nothing.
He didn't listen to one segment. And then I like the fact that he listened to every single segment. So that made me very happy. Hey,
I'm doing my research.
He put on here, and I don't even remember talking about this. He says, which junkie would show his dong in a movie?
Yeah, it was during the Ben Affleck segment. JP mentioned that he showed his dong in
Gone Girl.
Okay.
I remember the scene vividly.
Did we talk? Maybe I walked out. Did we get an answer of which junkie would want to show the dong?
No. It was just,
did we bring that up, or is that something that you brainstormed on your own?
I brought it up in my head while I was listening to that segment.
You brought it up in your head. Okay.
Yeah. And I was thinking, I know for a fact, I think Lurch would show his dong in a movie.
There is 0% chance.
He showed his dong to some lady on the street when he was a kid. If you're giving him millions of dollars,
40 years ago.
Lurch, millions of dollars, he's going to show his dong, he's going to show his butthole, he's going to show everything.
Well, number one, you didn't say that.
First of all, only Eric would show his dong in a movie out of all the junkies.
Why?
Because Eric, first of all, it wasn't when he was a kid. Eric was showing his dong to guys here at the radio station like 10 years ago. I think I've seen Eric's dong 20 times, all right? And he wasn't getting paid any money for it. And he's very proud of it. The other guy's, a little bit more sheepish.
Yeah.
I know Cakes wouldn't.
I don't think Valdez would. In fact, I'm not even sure that Valdez has vitiligo.
Why don't you ask him to show it to you right now?
I don't want to see it.
Why do you think I don't have vitiligo?
This is my theory, okay?
I can't wait to hear your theory.
I think you had a case of vitiligo, if that's such a thing, or you had something happened. It was like 12 years ago, right? The segment that you showed the guys, your Johnson, right? That had...
Did you ever
show it to him?
No, I showed Eric. Eric was the only one who... No, Eric and Brett.
It doesn't make any sense to me. How could he only have vitiligo on his dong and nowhere else? And no one's ever seen his Johnson since. I think it was a case of something that went away, and Valdez has been claiming.
Like, he's been milking it for
like
ADs.
Syphilis.
Yeah. I think it was like syphilis. Something happened. Yeah. So a skin condition, and it cleared up, and Valdez has had a clear Johnson for the last decade.
Well,
and he's been telling people he's had vitiligo.
I have vitiligo. Yeah. I will be happy to show it to you if you really want to see it.
No, I just want to keep this theory of mine going forever.
Out of the junkies, Eric was the only one who cared enough to see it. And that's the least shot. That's the least
Eric ever
thing.
Asked to take another peek?
No, I don't think he has.
Because you also won the Reggie Bush contest.
I did win that. I didn't win the Reggie contest. I have no problem showing my penis.
I would feel uncomfortable seeing Valdez's penis, but I'd get a kick out of seeing Adams. Is that weird?
Why?
I don't know. I think it would be funny, like if Adam was like like pulling it out and showing us and being like, you know,
waving it around in a circle.
Yeah, whatever, just being wacky.
I have more of a
brotherly relationship.
I'm creeped out by that. It actually does nothing.
Actually, yeah. Does nothing for you because what? I'm so trashy that you know, well, like you know, when you're on a high school basketball team and you shower with your teammates, I have no problem pulling my pants down and like showering in front of somebody. I have no problem taking dumps in front of somebody.
Did I ever tell you that was my biggest fear about high school?
Is showering?
The entire summer from eighth grade.
Why do gym teachers make you shower?
I don't know. I think I had a weird experience, I think. All right. I don't know how we just got on this in the other final. So I went to a Catholic school, kindergarten to eighth grade. We never had showers.
All nothing. Boys?
No. But only like 30 kids in our class. So a small private school. We never took showers after PE or anything like that. There was no PE uniforms. You just wore whatever you were wearing that day.
I would have showered after PE, but there just wasn't enough time. Like
in middle school?
In middle school or in high school. I would have showered because I got stinky. And,
right.
But the thing is, I couldn't shower and get dressed in the 5 minutes that they gave you to.
You were a loser if you took a shower at my school.
People take showers. Yeah.
The cool kids. Okay.
Why would you not take a shower? All right. Maybe
this is different.
I need to hear about Drab's molestation.
No, it wasn't molestation. I knew that showers were mandatory at my high school, my public high school, after PE. It was part of the class. Like you got out, the class ended 5 minutes early. You had 5 minutes to shower.
Yeah. Were these private showers or open floor plan?
Open.
Wide open. Built in like the 1950s, probably. Okay?
That's what you did.
That's what you did. There's no private stalls.
What we had.
At Lorton?
Yes. Private South showers? County.
Wow. Maybe they have that now at new high schools. I have no idea.
There's a thing where you would share soap.
I don't think I've ever shared soap.
You toss bars of soap to everybody. I can't remember. Share soap.
The entire summer between eighth grade and freshman year, I was petrified of my first day of high school. Not because I was my first day of ever going to public school or because it was a big school. Because I knew that I had to shower in front of the other guys. And I didn't know if the size of my Johnson would compare to other boys. I was so nervous.
Did you think about wearing just like your boxers or your underwear?
No. You don't understand. Mr. Neal watched the guys take showers and had a notepad.
And who showered and who didn't?
Who showered and who didn't? And he would watch you make sure. He was the bastard. He was the nice guy. Like, I'm not trying to honestly say anything perverted here, but he would watch you take showers and check you off when you walk by to go get dressed. So you had to take a shower or you failed the class. Now, thankfully, I felt like I was average, on par, you know, like I wasn't embarrassed or anything like that.
You know what you do is you find the Adam lookalike who has the tiny.
They find the wimp in class.
Yeah, then stand next to him.
No, it was weird. No, it was like eight different shower heads poles with different showers. There was like 40 guys taking showers all right next to each other from the class. So you weren't really hiding.
There's a lot of shenanigans.
There were shenanigans after basketball practice when you're kind of screwing around, not with Mr. Neal watching you. Right?
It was so hurting.
So scary.
Hey, West Coast schools.
Adam reminds me of the kid that would be in class that would put his gym uniform over his school clothes. So he didn't have to get naked.
Is that was a thing?
That was a thing with Kevin Chu.
Put his PE uniform over his jeans?
Yeah, over his jeans and everything because he was afraid of getting naked.
No, see, in high school, I didn't care about taking off my pants. It was my shirt. I did not get sized to take off my shirt.
Still don't get sized.
Yeah.
No, now it's like attention dollars. I like to show off the belly. Yeah. Hey, in high school, I was self-conscious.
When you were showering in high school, well, this was after practice. This didn't happen after gym class. But would you piss on someone's foot in the shower?
I've done that many times.
I know. As doing some shenanigans.
I've been peed on many times.
Yeah, of course.
Turnabout is fair play.
Yeah.
This is
how I know Adam was never on a sports team. He always claims he was on the basketball team. There's no chance because he's so uncomfortable.
It's actually camaraderie to get pissed on.
No, I grew up in a different era. All right. We had private showers. At the most, all you would do is you'd take a towel and you'd slap someone's ass with it.
Oh, I mean, that was standard.
Yes.
I mean, how did you not do this type of...
You pissed on each other? You guys are freaking weirdo. You're a weirdo.
I don't understand. every school you went to after the game had private showers?
Yes.
No chance.
No.
First of all, I know you never made the basketball team.
Yes. In Fairfax County, you had private showers.
First of all, you were on the summer league team. You told us you were on the basketball team, but you got cut.
I was on the freshman basketball team.
By the way, it was an unspoken rule. You never pissed higher than the knee. It's always calf down.
I don't remember all the unspoken rules, but I remember.
That was an unspoken rule. You always piss on the foot.
And for any of the ladies listening out there that are completely grossed out, it's just one of the things.
It's just a guy. It's just guys being guys.
Yeah.
Locker room talk.
Yeah, this is legitimate locker room talk.
That's what locker room talk is, guys peeing on each other's feet.
But this whole conversation started because the junkies were talking about Ben Affleck's dong right before Ron Rivera was on the show.
All right, so what happened was, the reason why I told EB this is that, I don't know if the listeners know this story. Back in 2012, I think it was, when Davey Johnson was the manager of the Nationals, we had a salacious segment before his interview, and it was talking about Hulk Hogan having sex and showing his dong to people.
Having sex with Bubba the Love Sponge wife,
Heather Clem. I think it was that the Bubba and Heather Clem thing, right? And we're talking about the video and just how just outrageous it was. Well, Davey Johnson was listening to the junkies before his call-in because he wanted to get a feel for the show. And then he was furious, and he called the Nationals secretary and their PR office and let them know how angry he was at us for talking about sexual things before he came on the air.
But I just want to say that if you listen to that segment, I did not bring up Ben's penis size first. And then once Eric did, then it was full go. Then I could talk about Ben's huge Southie hog that he probably has.
Right.
I mean, but behind the scenes here,
the seal was broken.
You knew that Ron Rivera was coming up next, but then once the segment kind of got going and it was silly dong talk, you had to let it go.
I'll be honest, I got wrapped up in it. I kind of forgot. I kind of forgot that Ron Rivera might be listening. And Mike Rizzo, I know, listens to the show, and he's never said anything about our content when he comes on. So he doesn't care.
You know,
but I know him. Mike's coming on the show for 10 years now, or 5 years. I don't know however long. It's been a long time. So he doesn't ever care. I said it was our first time having him on.
I know. It was her.
I literally went to Eric and I said, no dong.
By the way, all these coaches, they do a thing called scouting. So why wouldn't they scout the radio show? They're getting ready to come on.
He's going to get to know the guys a little bit. I thought Ron was great this week. Speaking of sports, though,
No sports.
Ooh. But Ron was great. Adam loved it. He was fired up. He cursed on the air.
He was fired up.
I know that's exactly what I wanted to bring up. It's not necessarily the sports thing, but anytime there's like a really big name guest or a huge guest or newsworthy type figure, it kind of puts a jolt into the guys, and that's what I really loved about Ron. That's what I'm really gonna love about him for this week is how kind of loosey goosey the guys get afterwards. Because when you interview some guy who is a huge name in the area or just a huge name nationally, it kind of puts a jolt in your step. And then you get a little loosey-goosey afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm looking forward to this year.
Valdez and I, we had a dollar bet that JP was going to play, what do we call that
Rapid
game?
Fire.
Rapid fire. behind this the scenes. Makes us laugh. Yeah, we always predict what junkies questions the junkies are going to ask or what they're going to do, and it's not to single any one of them out. We do it with all four of them.
Yes.
Because they all have certain quirks. Or
Lurch is going to ask about LA
every time Cakes starts the show. We always say predict what he's going to say. Good morning
DCMDVA.
We know what they're going to say a lot of times before they say it, and so we knew anytime there's a big new guest on that JP always does rapid fire.
They were going to ask him, hey, what's your walk-up song?
Well, they talked about that before the interview, so I knew they were going to ask that. We like to guess what they're going to say just blindly.
Yeah, because anytime there's there's going to be a weekly guest, JP wants to. He always says, "I want to learn more about you, Ron. I just want to do some rapid fire with you. Okay, are you a rock guy or a country guy or something like that?" That's my JP voice, by the way.
So we'll keep you guys updated on the dollar bets that we make on what the junkies say or what we think they're going to say throughout bit season here. We appreciate you guys listening. I thought that was a fun episode 3. We're kind of scatterbrained. We're all over the place. Episode 3 next week, which will have much more opportunity for non-sports talk, which we love.
By the way, we need to thank Nat and Wave Soda for sponsoring, for being the feature sponsor and presenter of Bit Season. I can't go unnoticed. I believe if you use the word code junkies at wavesoda.com, you can get a 15% discount. So go support Nat and Wave Soda because they support us.
We should also thank everyone on Twitter. Everyone's been following the show on social media. It's Bit Season on all social media platforms.
Our DMs are open, by the way.
They're flooded on Instagram. You guys don't check them, do you?
We got don't get us started. We know you didn't check them. We are the ones that checked all the other messages. There was like dozens of messages in there that you never checked as our social media manager.
I didn't check them because I was waiting to check them with you when we were all together.
Oh my God.
Literally the worst excuse in the world. I see you once a week.
That's a straight shoot. I didn't check them on purpose because I thought, let's do a team effort.
So you're just not going to respond to people for a week, a potential client, because you wanted to open up the mail
with
us?
We all are looking at the account. So we all could have responded.
Yeah, but you're...
I knew that if I responded, you would have said, you know what? Shut up and sit in the corner and let us respond to the big hitters.
That's what Valdez tells you to sit down.
I don't tell you to sit down.
Well, you said, why is he on the show?
I did not say that.
I think you said it earlier in the show.
No, I didn't. Oh, I said I want him to do an impression of Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah. Same thing. Thank you guys for checking out episode 2. We'll have a lot of fun doing this. Next week, episode 3.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts.
Absolutely. All right, guys, have a great time watching Washington football tonight, or a great weekend if you're listening to it later in the week, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.